are Locked On Predators, your daily podcast on the Nashville Predators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Predators podcast. Justin Bradford, Matt Best. And hey, the Nashville Predators, aside from their best effort to blow it, are one win and one Dallas loss away from clinching a berth in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Do you think we're at this point, talking about the Nashville Predators, potentially clinching a berth in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it not being the last two games of the season, and given where they were at the beginning of March, is a story within itself, Matt. It's one of those things that I don't think no one expected this team to be where it's at right now. No one expected them to continue to go on this run, because we've been saying for weeks and weeks of, okay, well, they can't keep playing at this level. And they've gotten the wins, and they need to get the wins. And that's what matters right now for this squad. What happens in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs? We will address that. We will address that when it gets there. But right now, the important thing for this organization in terms of experience for a lot of these players, money coming into the organization, overall fan support for momentum going into next season as well, when you look at it, this all builds on that. Again, we will address what could potentially happen with a matchup against Carolina, but it's good stuff right now overall for the Nashville Predators to be in this position that they're in, to potentially not have to worry about even getting a point against Carolina, because that would be difficult.
I mean, you also want to look at Carolina, and we'll talk about it if it happens as a preview of what to expect if that is your first round matchup. I mean, that's not necessarily the worst thing going into the playoffs. I no longer really am at the point of discussing, will they make the playoffs? As last time I said Dallas 40% would make the playoffs. Now my Dallas will make the playoffs is down to like 10%. I don't know what that website says, but mine is now at 10%. My confidence level in the Predators, however, to get a win in the first round is at about 15% to 20%, to be brutally honest with you, if they face the Carolina Hurricanes. I know they can clinch Wednesday, and I know that me and you have talked about it, and you and I understand how important it is from like a revenue standpoint, from an experience standpoint. But at the same time, I still see it not as a failure. I just see it as a shortcoming to make the playoffs this season because of just the opponent that you're going to face. I mean, out of all the divisions, I don't think any of them are top heavy like the Central, where it's just that much harder for the four seed to make some noise. Because I mean, you saw in Toronto tonight, Toronto and Montreal, close game, playoff hockey. Montreal wins, goal Caulfield. I'm not even calling him Cole Caulfield anymore. Just goes and scores the overtime winner because they play close. And then the Jets could be the four seed in that division as well. You look elsewhere. The East is super tight. The East is ridiculously tight. The Boston could be the four seed there. And that's a team that you can't count out. Then you look at the Central and go, oh boy, the Predators. They're the four seed. And it's not me going against the Preds. It's just, I think you could poll 100 different people and go, what's the weakest four seed in the NHL? The Preds, if they make it. And I just don't think there's an argument to be had there, right?
Well, and I think of it this way. Are there any other four seeds that have an 0-6 current record against the number one seed?
Or as bad as a record against the top three seeds? I'd be very curious to see that.
That's where it comes in. The Preds have been playing well overall right now. Maybe they surprise people and get two wins in a series or something like that. You never know. Saros has been continuing to play lights out hockey. And when you have a hot goaltender, anything can happen. But it is a very scary matchup potentially for these Nashville Predators, and Carolina continuing to roll to where it looks like they're going to be the number one seed in the Central. So now, the Nashville Predators going up against them. Yeah, we'll address that when they get there. But the important thing right now is they're one away from clinching a berth. And we didn't think there were, I think everyone thought it was going to come down to the last two games for both Dallas and Nashville.
Yeah. And Dallas has just not been floundering, but they failed to take advantage of a couple of must win spots.
They didn't win when they needed to.
The Preds are just winning all of the games that they're supposed to win and have done so the whole season. And they heated up during that stretch where they beat up on the teams they were supposed to beat up on. Let me ask you this. What would you have rather had if I gave you this question at the beginning of the season? A chance at winning the lottery in the draft lottery. Let's say you finish bottom eight teams or sneak in as the four seed. What would you prefer?
What do you think? Come on.
I mean, there's a lot of people are going against this, and it's a hard choice for a lot of people. I go top eight chance at the lottery,
even
even if it's a crappy draft year.
Okay, okay, you're posing this question, and I'll take into account what happened at the end of last season, which is a loss to the Coyotes in the play-in round. Coming in, my expectations were not high at all already. It was they're going to battle for fourth or fifth in this division, and then they looked worse, and then they ended up being right where they said we would be, right where okay, we
let
said
me,
they
let me,
would be.
Let me rephrase this for you then. If I could, if for some reason in crazy banana lands fantasy land, I could just tell you that I would trade you right now a chance at a lottery pick to not make the playoffs, would you do it?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to see where your mind's at in terms of the development of this team and how important it is to you to make the playoffs versus how important it would have been to you to miss and get a chance at a lottery pick.
Obviously, people that have been listening for a while know where my stance was. My stance had to change because the team started performing. I can't just say lose, lose, lose because you don't cheer for a team to tank. You really don't. The team's going to provide you what the team's going to provide you, and you analyze what they're going to give you to analyze. Therefore, when they started making that run, it's like, well, you better make the playoffs or else it's all for naught. That's what we started thinking about at the trade deadline. You darn well better make it now because you didn't make any of the moves that we really wanted to see. So if you don't make the playoffs, then it is more of a failure. If you at least make the playoffs, then you bring in more money.
And you benefit in some way, right?
You benefit, yeah. So everything changes. You have to we have to adapt with how we're analyzing, right? I think we've done a pretty good job of adapting to that.
Like the point of my question was just to see what you would have enjoyed more in terms of longevity for this franchise.
Not necessarily enjoyed, but in looking at the terms of what's going to make this team better in the long run.
That's more of what I meant. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's a obviously a huge chunk of people that are like that, but then they just kind of have to accept that the team's playing well and they're going to make a run for the playoffs. I think a lot of people are in our boat. You know, they're not always the most outspoken ones on social media either. I mean, it's the silent majority a lot of times when it comes to that, the people that have good heads on their shoulders that like, well, okay, well, I guess they're going to make a run. So might as well hope that they get in and get some good experience out of that because they're not going to win the lottery. So you might as well go with the flow.
To me, you might as well just have fun with it, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Just enjoy what you're seeing right now. It wouldn't matter to me if they won one game in a best of seven or if they won three games in a best of seven. That would not change my opinion on where this team stacks up against the upper echelon in the league as a whole. Because I feel like Carolina and Tampa Bay and Florida represent the upper echelon quite well. It wouldn't change my mind. Three games is a tiny sample size. And I know people will be like, playoff hockey is like the best hockey. And that's when the true stars come out. No teams play playoff hockey until it's absolute crunch time or it's the playoffs. So that wouldn't change it for me whatsoever. My mindset right now, to be brutally honest, is just sit back, enjoy the ride, watch the kids play, watch Philip Forsberg score more goals from his ass, watch Roman Josi score. Just enjoy everything that's happening because this is like out of the three options that could have happened this season, one lottery pick, two miss the playoffs, three make the playoffs. This is the second best option.
Right. So by the way, Money Puck has Nashville. You're really close. Nashville's at 91.1%.
Oh, damn. I was off by 1.1.
Dallas at 8.9%.
Yeah. Sorry, so Christian.
You're close. But looking at that too, in terms of mentioning those top three teams, especially Florida and Carolina, where they're at with their rosters, they're trending up. Tampa Bay is at the top of their bell curve still, and they're going to be trending down eventually. Like this, just the natural progression of how things are going to happen. It's going to be difficult to make. I mean, eventually, because that could be 2 to 3 years. It doesn't mean.
Oh, I thought you meant this season. I was
No. We're talking about how Carolina's right at the beginning of their bell curve.
Oh, absolutely.
They're at the beginning. Florida is at the very beginning. They're at that little where it's going up a little bit with Joel Quenneville getting his roster. They have lots of youth. They have lots of speed. They have
Gusev looks phenomenal.
Yeah, they have nice lots of project. They have, if they do things correctly, they have multiple years remaining for that bell curve to peak and then go down. Like I said, Tampa's at the top of their bell curve. They won the cup. They have all the experience in the world. They know how to flip that switch and turn it on. It's going to take a couple years. I mean, look at Nashville. Nashville peaked right after the cup year is when they peaked because they won the President's Trophy. That's the peak.
Yep.
They were the best team in the regular season. And then they went down and we saw the trend. And now you have the little boop, the little bloop right now, which is what this is. But it's still trending down, meaning they have to make some right moves in order for the longevity of this franchise to be overall competitive with youth. And that's not a bad thing. It's if you do things correctly and manage things correctly, then you can be competitive and rebuild. And maybe you get lucky to make the playoffs. Maybe you don't. but you still have to load up on draft picks. And that's the thing this offseason is going to be very important for. And the only way you don't do some moves in this offseason is if you make it to the conference final. And I cannot see them making it to the conference final.
If they make it to the conference final, I'm on board with another run it back here.
But it's like, right now, go for it. Why the hell
whatever.
Not?
We
Why
spent this whole not? Season saying not run it back. Let's just run it back next
You're
year.
If they make wrong.
It, if they make it to the conference finals, sure. I will eat all of my words and I'll like deep fry a sock or something and eat it and shove it in my mouth. Like,
oh God. Okay. Up next, the Nashville Predators in the game against Columbus almost blew it. They tried everything to almost blow it in the third period, but they didn't. Let's just do a brief recap of that game against Columbus, the win in overtime. Up next, the Locked On Predators podcast. He's my best. I'm Justin Bradford.
Okay, friends, let's talk about Blue Nile. Blue Nile, as you know by now, has this 10-10 collection that gets you some sweet-ass rings from 10 different creative styles of 10 different designers. Mother's Day is coming up. My birthday is coming up if you want to get me a ring. Justin and I's, I don't even know. I was going to say anniversary, but I don't even know when we met, to be brutally honest with you. I don't know when I first DM'd you. Yeah, I slid into those DMs.
Wow.
You don't know. When is it right now? 3, 2, 1, go.
6 years ago.
I meant month. Wow.
February.
You're guessing. You're totally guessing. But it doesn't matter because we love each other. And I would give Justin a ring from BlueNile.com because that's what happens. Because friends can give friends rings. It doesn't matter. I can give my dog a ring. I can Absolutely. Give you a ring. Absolutely. I didn't compare you to a dog. Don't take that the wrong way. You go to BlueNile.com, search the words 10 by 10. You can get a bunch of cool stuff there. I've been to the website a few times, just shopping around and just looking around, peeking around. And they've got a pretty kick-ass selection. And you don't have to go to a jewelry store. You can just do it from your computer. BlueNile.com 1010. All right, let's talk about money over at Wealthfront. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your assets, your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. Wealthfront will create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. There's no manual trades for you. There's no picking stocks, no watching the stock market, stonks, stonks, stonks. You don't have to pretend you know any of that. They automatically handle it for you. It's basically, if you don't know what you're doing with your money, they can help you out. Here's what you do. If you have $500 lying around, A, send it to me, B, send it to Wealthfront, and you can get started that way. You go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL, and you can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 manager free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today.
And welcome back to the Locked On Predators podcast. Justin Bradford, Matt Best. And Matt, I got a question for you, bud. If you're the Nashville Predators, what's the most dangerous lead you can have?
3-0. Going into the third period or any point of the game, third period just amplifies it a bit more, but 3-0 is terrifying.
Oh my goodness. So up until the third period, the Nashville Predators were, I want to say steamrolling, but they were in direct dominant control of this game. I mean, they were just smelling blood and attacking like sharks do when they smell blood in the water, and they look good. I mean, they continue to control offensive zone possession. They got a power play goal. Finally, when you see Forsberg and Tolvanen back in there and throw it to the net, and good things happen when you go to the net and you have good puck movement as well. Johansson popping that in. Forsberg getting a goal. I mean, Johansson had a 2-point night. Ellis had a 2-point night, 2 primary assists. Roman Josi also had a great night as well, that he scored the third goal and the game winner.
He won me some money. Thank you, Roman Josi.
Oh, my gosh. But then in the third period, a natural hat trick from Emil Bäckström. Who? Emil Bäckström. Who?
I was giggling.
Who?
A so natural hard. Hat
trick. Luckily, Columbus isn't battling for anything, but he single-handedly got Columbus a point in this game.
Yeah.
And obviously flashbacks. I tweeted out that after the third goal that the Nashville Predators are taking care of business so far. People tried to come at me, blaming me. And went, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's why I say so far, because anything can happen. So up until that point, they've been taking care of business. I didn't say it was over or it was done or anything like that. And people try to come at me. I'm going,
is this on Twitter? Is this on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go.
This is why I don't do absolutes like that either, because I'm not going to set myself up for a cold take like that. That's why I said so far. Because anything can happen, especially with this Predators team. Anything can happen. And lo and behold, it did. And then blew this game. But luckily for them, Roman Josi took things into his own hands, as well as Erik Haula. I mean, talk about puck movement in overtime leading up to that Roman Josi goal. I mean, Erik Haula was pretty fantastic. And he has just flipped that switch. You were laughing at the replies, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I just enjoy your replies to some people just straight up, LOL.
Yeah. And a lot of people were just giving me a hard time for the fun of it. I know a lot of them, so they weren't really coming at me. But so I'm like, don't even try. Don't even try to do that. That's why I said so far. But the Predators took care of business overall. They got the 2 points, and that's what they needed, the 2 points. Things are going to happen. Columbus can play spoiler. But of all players to allow to score a natural hat trick, you allow him.
Okay. It's like the Gus against Detroit. I'm going to give Bemstrom a bit more credit than you're giving him.
No. Okay. It's not about not giving him credit. It's more that Columbus, you allow Columbus to get a natural hat, one player to get a natural hat trick against you in one period.
Some of the goals were ridiculous. That second goal was phenomenal. That snipe.
Yes.
The third one, I think Saros should have had, even with the screen in front of him. That was just a slow reaction on the glove hand. But I like Bemstrom. I've liked Bemstrom since the start of the season. I liked him last year, too. He's a shifty little kid that has a really nice shot.
And he is a kid.
He's, what is he, 21, I think? He's
21. He's 21. A fourth-round pick. Those are his first 3 goals of the season.
Yeah.
He's played 17 games this season for the Blue Jackets. Those are his first 3 goals, a natural hat trick in one period. He might not score again this season. Those would be his only goals this season, scored in one period against the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I like it's
it's just funny. It's more funny.
See, to me, this is like the bar where if you're going into the playoffs and you're like, oh, I'm confident in your team. It's like, well, Bemstrom scored a hat trick on you in one period playing for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's like, I don't know how you can debate that. It's this team has holes. And it's funny watching some people talk about like, oh, this Nashville Predators team could surprise anyone. Yes, I understand. In any sport, the technical lowest seed can go ahead and surprise anyone. But I'm telling you right now that out of all the divisions, you show me a team that's competing for a 4 seed that is better or the worse than Nashville. And like, just prove it. Show me the stats. Show me everything that makes them a better team. Because I'm looking around right now. I'll just go to the standings tab as we record this episode. Nashville, 60 points. The 4 seed, St. Louis. I like St. Louis more in a 4-game series, even though they have less points this season. Montreal, 57 points. Would rather have Montreal as a backing team. The East, I don't even want to discuss. The Islanders with 67 points. That division's all locked up now, by the way. It'd be the Islanders or the Bruins. Out of all these teams, the most volatile one is the Nashville Predators, is it not?
Yeah.
St. Louis just won a cup. They can go back to that real quick, and they've shown over the last 10 games that they look pretty good, and they've been hanging in there against some of the better teams. In the North, like I said, Montreal has always been competing with Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, or Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg. Winnipeg's kind of floundering right now, but they have a consensus, one of the best goaltenders in the league, who's just going through a rough patch. Another team that kind of has a win condition in net, but I like their forward and defense core better. Nashville's so close to me from being just a you could make the playoffs team to you're expected to make the playoffs team. Whereas all these other teams in the 4 seed, it's like, no, you're expected to make the playoffs. Nashville's like, oh, happy surprise.
This team overall, given the roller coaster that they put fans through this season, this Nashville Predators team is exactly what we said they were at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They were what most people did. So it's not just us. I'm not trying to take
credit. No.
Only people. Every person that I know that's considered a quote unquote expert said Nashville's probably going to battle for 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
Though this is what they're doing. So it's not a surprise that they're a fringe team.
The only division that is kind of clear cut from start to finish has been the West. Vegas, yeah. Colorado, Minnesota, St. Louis. Like that has been it. The North, there was a couple things like Calgary and Vancouver could have been interchanged with Winnipeg and Montreal. But at the end of the day, just it never happened. And in the East, Philly was the only team that people had in, and then it was either Boston or the Islanders out of it, or Pittsburgh or Washington. But out of all, like, the Central is always going to be, like you said, Nashville, Dallas, Columbus, Florida. We had Florida pegged as maybe the number four.
Right.
So
it's, yeah, and it's come down to Nashville and Dallas. And I think we were kind of thinking that Dallas would be around third or yeah. so overall. And that would have been Florida and Columbus and Nashville vying for that fourth spot. So, I mean, yeah, they're where we thought they were going to be. It's just the journey to get here was not expected.
Tumultuous.
It's very tumultuous. So obviously we all have more to discuss on that. But up next, I just want to talk about the BS of Tom Wilson.
Mm.
So let's just discuss that. That's all I really need to say. If you're a hockey fan, you watch any sort of highlights or even paying attention, you know damn well what I'm talking about. So let's discuss Tom Wilson up next, Locked On Predators Podcast, Justin Bradford, Matt Best.
All right, let's talk about some Bet Online. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can bet on literally anything and everything. Goal props, any kind of props, basketball, baseball. If you bet the over tonight in almost any game, you would have won. My goodness, it's been crazy in the NHL. Tons of games, love it. Don't really love it when I'm working, but love it as a hockey fan. You can go over to betonline.com on your laptop or your phone or your tablet, or I don't know what people use. I don't know what else there is. Laptop, phone, tablet. Am I missing anything? Are there any other devices that you use? Nah, that's about it. Basically, anything you can think of, you can get to betonline.ag, and you can get that welcome bonus on your first deposit by using promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. You give them $100, they'll give you 50. Give them 50, they'll give you 25. It's a pretty dandy first deposit. Get your feet wet with that bonus over at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, and we got some Rock Auto, our favorite car part and car accessory and car anything, really, over at rockauto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers for 20 years and longer. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. That's right. So when you go buy Justin a big spoiler for his hatchback or SUV or whatever he's driving, you can get him any kind you want. A carbon fiber one, you can get him. You can get him one that sticks out over the sides of his car. You can get him those big jackass headlights. You can get him anything over at rockauto.com. And the best thing is, even if you want to play a joke on your friend, you're going to get the best prices at rockauto.com. And there's really nothing you have to do for us other than writing Locked On in their how did you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Just helps us, helps them, lets them know where their traffic's coming from, and helps them know that we're giving them some customers. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On Predators Podcast. Justin Bradford, Matt Best. So Tom Wilson is a asshole. Piece of crap. He's an asshole. He's a dag of bog crap, because I mean, there's so many words I want to say about Tom Wilson right now and the type of player he is, how he represents himself on the ice and in the penalty box. If you do not know what I'm talking about, all you need to do is go to Twitter.
He's a goon.
He's a goon in the worst way. He's not like, here's the thing. There are a lot of goons that have been likable before, right?
Oh yeah.
Tom Wilson, with the way he plays, is not likable.
So
I mean, hold on. You need to go to Google and just Google Tom Wilson, New York Rangers, and you'll see what happened and what he did and how dirty of a player he is, to the point that it is absolutely unnecessary, ridiculous, punching a player in the back of the head and then ripping a helmet off and injuring Artemi Panarin as well, and continuing to go after guys. There's no gentlemanly conduct in the way he's playing the game. And that is the big problem, I think, with him and his style of play. There's one thing when guys are fighting, typically there's typically an understanding that
there's a code
you're following, that yeah, you're trying to keep guys in check, things like that, especially natural fights. I mean, I'm still totally fine with natural fights, not fights for the staging of fighting, or like I just need a fight to get my team back up and going. But when it's a natural thing that happens after a scrum, I'm okay with that. Tom Wilson does not do things naturally. He does things that's not to be a rat or a pest or even anything like Brad Marchand. Tom Wilson has intent to injure when he's out there. And that's the major problem. That is the major problem with what I'm seeing Tom Wilson. And the league is not coming down harsh enough on him. He punched, He punched a guy in the side of the head while he was down on his stomach and defenseless, face down on the ice. I mean, a 10-minute misconduct, it should have been a game. He should have been gone. It should have been a match penalty more than anything else with the type of bull crap that he pulled in this. And then Artemi Panarin jumped on Wilson's back to get him off. After the two wrestled, Wilson ragdolled Panarin and slammed him to the ice.
I mean, Wilson doesn't have an off switch. He just goes and goes and goes. I'm going to read you the description of the play we posted over at Sportsnet. Shout out Lauren Kelly. She is a fantastic one coworker, two, an incredible scout, just knows anything about the juniors. Here's what she wrote for the synopsis of the video. Tom Wilson cross-checked a defenseless Pavel Buchnevich in the back of the head before slamming a helmetless Artemi Panarin to the ice and punching him in the face. Wilson then flexed in the penalty box afterwards before being sent off the ice. If that doesn't scream asshole to you, I don't know what does. Flex. I like Tom Wilson. I like Tom Wilson for one scenario and one scenario only. Fantasy hockey. That's it. Like, and I'm not the kind of person who won't draft somebody just because of like the person they are. It's fantasy hockey. Too much money's on the line for me to do that. But in real life, on the ice, he is perhaps, and I don't want to sound like a prick, but he is one of the dirtiest NHL players in recent history. Just has no off switch in terms of maybe I shouldn't do this. There was a way he could have gone in that scrum and manhandled every single one of those people. Because Tom Wilson's a big boy. He could easily go in there, grab someone, beat them up, but just make sure they're standing and facing you. Make sure they're ready to fight. If the person turtles, just huck them to the ground. Then done. That's it. You just give in to them surrendering and you walk away. But if a dude is face down on the ice, you don't grab him and go, meet the ice, smash, smash. Like, that's just not what you do. That's the equivalent of me going up to you at a bar and you're sitting at the bar having a beer. I take a beer bottle and just smash it over the back of your head. And then I like grab your head and slam it off the bar stool or whatever. And I go, I won that fight fair and square.
It was your fault.
That's how Tom Wilson sees things. Whereas if I had a problem with you, I'd tap you on the shoulder, be like, oh God, let's go outside. And I'd be slurring my words and that'd be it.
It doesn't belong in the game whatsoever. Does not belong in this game.
What do you think happens to him now?
Who knows? I mean, he has a history. This is the kind of thing where the league won't do it because the playoffs are coming up and they want him in the playoffs, especially because the Capitals, where they're at, they're going to want him in the playoffs. They'll probably suspend him for the rest of the regular season and fine him $20,000 or something like that, or whatever. I don't know. The maximum allowable, which is what, a few grand, which is absolutely bull crap and nothing for this. So it doesn't belong in the league. He should be suspended for the remainder of the season for this. I mean, two players with intent to injure, two players. And then the Washington Capitals social media. This is how you know they regret what they did. The picture they tweeted of Tom Wilson, that Tom Wilson chose violence, no crap. And then for his head, sheesh. And then troll rent free. And then the best goal scorer in the league. They thought that was timely and the right thing to tweet out at that moment, when you have a player that had intent to injure two different players come out. Now, you don't touch that as a social media manager, period. Uh-huh. There's a reason it got deleted, because it was wrong and stupid and just ridiculous to even think about putting that out.
Major higher up definitely went to the social media team and went, put that away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if that person's fired. Also,
read the room.
I don't use this platform to rag on other media members, so I'm just going to say a certain media member from a bigger, large conglomerate organization type thing tweeted out, here's the play that triggered overreacting to things Tom Wilson does Twitter. There is no overreaction to what he did. Beat up on two defenseless guys, and you can't put the onus on the players that got beat up on to be in a position to be ready for it. Are you searching for who said this? Do you want me to just send it to you?
No, I found it.
Go through the replies. Not great. Don't tweet stupid stuff. Ooh, that was close.
That seems unlike him to tweet that, especially given the player.
Not really.
I mean, overall.
Maybe it's
just more that it's like, oh, here we go again, nothing's gonna happen. Maybe he's just over it, and that's why he tweeted what he did.
Some of the replies I beg to differ, because some people are challenging said writer and he's going right back at them.
Huh.
Not a good look. All I'm saying is there are things in hockey that you can debate as dirty and not dirty, but I don't think you can debate this one as being not dirty. And if you can, good luck.
Then you better be in law school or a damn good lawyer getting paid lots of money.
Yeah, you'd be a pretty good defense attorney.
Yeah, because when you slam a player's head to the ice when he's already face down and then rip a helmet off and ragdoll another player onto the ice without a helmet like that, especially a guy that is way smaller than you do.
I don't even care about that, to be brutally honest with you. I don't care if a dude's smaller than you, because I've seen Nathan Gerby fight people.
Well, but it's more like you know that you're capable. Like you said, Tom Wilson knows he's capable of beating up every single person out there.
Oh yeah, and it's not even because like he's a giant man. It's because he's a pretty built dude.
He's solid. Like,
he's a bona fide power forward in the NHL. He's just a dirty power forward in the NHL. It's like he lacks the awareness of like read the room kind of thing, like you said, but it's just read what everyone else is doing. Most hockey scrums are what? I grab you by the collar. I shake you around a bit. I jab you a couple times. I push you away. Ref comes in, breaks it up. I tap you on the back, run our way. Tom Wilson goes, what did that guy say about my mother? What did that guy say about my sister? I got to kill you now. That's his mentality in every single thing. And like, it's not even comical. Some dirty plays, this sounds horrible. Like Nazem Kadri ripping out Joe Thornton's beard. Hilarious. That's one of the funniest dirty plays I've ever seen in my life. And probably the only dirty play that I can think that's funny is at the end of the day, it happened during a fight and he ripped his beard out. It wasn't like he did it on purpose. He was just holding on because Jumbo was feeding him, right? Like nothing that Tom Wilson does is funny. Like Zdeno Chara beating up on little people. Funny. Hilarious. Because if you want to tango a Chara, good for you.
Or Yakov Trenin taking down Zdeno Chara. How about that?
Yeah, like all of that. Funny to me, and I'm not condoning like violence is funny. I'm just saying like there's a code both players are going into said event knowing the outcome, because they are looking at each other and they know what they're engaging in
and understand.
Any of these players face down on the ice know they're about to get pummeled
by Tom Wilson of all players?
No, they don't. That's I had to make sure that me saying dirty and funny in the same sentence was corrected by the end of it.
No, I got you, man. All right. We had to get that off our chest, folks. So thanks for sticking with us. All right. We will have a mailbag episode next because it's an off day. Sorry. Then we'll have another.
Think about that one.
And the Preds play Columbus again Wednesday. And we'll be back at it again. All right, folks. Subscribe. Apple. Well, working on Apple. That is not really replenished in like over a week. We'll see if they get that fixed. Spotify, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn. It's not on us. He's at Best of Matt on Twitter. I'm at Justin B. Bradford, LO_Predators. Thanks as always for tuning in. We appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.